really extraordinary to see you all. I mean, extraordinary. Beautiful. It's been a very busy time. A lot's happened. Continuing to happen. I want to put things in the perspective of two important words. Fate and destiny. And somebody asked me recently the difference between them, and I had to really, really think about it. And maybe all of you have a clear picture of it. But it became fairly simple in the end. That fate is what you're born into. The society, the body, the sexuality, the family, circumstances. That's your fate. You all came in under conditions that may or may not have been your choosing. That's a debate, I guess. But here you are. Some of you born into comfort, some to discomfort, some into loving arms, some into discordant arms. And then there's this thing. What do you do with it? What do you do with what you were given? It's the old idea of, you know, you have to play the hand you're given. And some of us, the hands are not that good. I play cards with Talia now. I've taught her to play poker and go fish, among other things. And she doesn't like getting bad hands. And we really have to deal with that. And it's fascinating to watch our psyche deal with the frustrations of not liking what we have, not knowing what to do with it, not seeing an advantage. You know, it's like getting all vowels in Scrabble. You know, so what do you do? There are people who really understand the language of Scrabble. And they can put one little zero somewhere and get 40 points or 100 points, you know. Not a zero, an O or E. And there are people who play their hand really well, and there are people who just don't. And so many of us think we're fighting for some kind of advantage, for some kind of achievement, some kind of attainment, that we're here to get something, that we're here to prove something, that we want to arrive somewhere, and that playing the hand that you're given has some kind of ultimate goal or purpose. And I think what I want to possibly argue is that it doesn't. That it doesn't have purpose exactly. That it doesn't have something you need to get. That you don't need to be more advantaged or attained or rewarded than anyone else. I read a book recently, which is a new thing for me. I don't read a lot, but suddenly I have, I don't know about time exactly, but inclination to start reading. And the book was something in the New York Times talked about, a book from the 1950s that sounded meaningful to me. I'll mention it. It's called Stoner. It's about an academic whose life didn't add up to anything. And yet he seemed to be aware of something by the end. And I was very moved by his life story. He came in disadvantaged on every level. And his life, nothing worked particularly well. Nothing. Somewhere in the middle of it, he has a love affair that absolutely changes him and lets him understand what's possible here. And you're rooting for his love, and his experience of love is so intense. We so want people to find this beauty in life. And he does. And he gets celebrated in a way, but he's not even there for the celebration, and it's a reluctant celebration. And it says at the first sentence that nobody remembers him after he goes, and you can feel that nobody will remember him at all. But what's so beautiful is it doesn't matter, because he had a life. He had a life. A completely imperfect, unsatisfying life on so many levels, and yet it dug into the poetry of being. And he left this world very grateful to have been here. I've had this strange experience recently, being 70-ish, 70-plus, of watching these stories and trying to understand how this all adds up. And part of my feeling about my own life is that almost all of my accomplishments are now what I call a resume. They're just on a page in a drawer. You know, I spent years and years fighting to establish a career and to have recognition and to have a name and to have achievement and do all that. It's just in a drawer on a piece of paper. It means almost nothing. I cannot tell you. I mean, I'm happy I did it, but it's not what it added up to. I have a crazy car, a new car, and it doesn't sync up right with my phone. And I get in the car the other day, and it turns on all my songs in random order. And I'm driving along, and my whole history is playing on the radio on my car, and it's like so beautiful. And I'm just so emotional with the joy of having had all these pieces of music in my life, and how they all add up to something that isn't numerical. It's just beautiful. It's just this joyful reality of having passed through this existence. And, you know, I talk endlessly about my granddaughter, Talia, and now I have this little grandson, Elijah, who's only 4 months old and just starting to be kind of present. And the secret of life for me is in these kids. And Talia's at a very interesting age. I don't know how she'll feel when she listens to this in her teens and 30s and 40s, if she listens to this at all. But this thing is erupting in her. And it's anger and a kind of violence. And I'm looking at it and going, oh my God, where does this come from? This beautiful, pure child. And she got so angry at her mother the other day, she threatened to rub her eyeballs with a hairbrush, which is the worst thing she could think of. And I'm going, how does this arise out of such purity? Where does it come from? And the realization that it's not just in her, obviously, it's in all of us. We are all filled with these strange dark forces that none of us understand. Nobody understands it. And it's potent, it's intense. We are these figures of light and dark. And I don't mean kind of light, kind of dark. I mean pure evil and pure divinity. In constant movement inside us. And it's powerful. And we are wildly, wildly imperfect beings. And our struggle for perfection, in a way, is so beautiful in its struggle. But nobody, none of us, I don't know if anybody gets there. Nor do I know if we're meant to get there. The idea of arriving at something, at what you, if you want to call it, peace, safety, enlightenment, awareness, all of this stuff. What is it? What is it? Because even if you get there, there's going to be a moment where pure biological terror will take over. probably. No matter how far out you get, somehow your body's not going to like the idea that it's going to have to stop breathing. Just not going to like it. You're going to want to rub eyeballs with hairbrushes. You're not going to be pleased about it. So we're not all going to leave here in a state of, oh, thank you, it's perfect. It doesn't work that way. And everyone who comes to a class like this thinking, that's what I want. I want to arrive at safe ground. I want to arrive where I don't have to fear anything anymore. I got to tell you, it's not going to happen. Not going to happen, nor should it. And that part of the absolute beauty of being is that it doesn't arrive. The beauty is in the duality. The beauty is in the mix. The beauty is in our suffering as well as our joy. It has to be. That's the construct. And the only thing that you can achieve in this lifetime that is worth achieving is accepting it. Just say yes. Yes. This is what it is. I don't get it at all, but it's what it is, and it's unbelievably beautiful. I don't know how many of you watch Louis C.K.'s TV show, but my daughter-in-law watches it, and I watched it with her the other night, and I don't watch it regularly, but he had a love affair that didn't go anywhere, and meets Charles Grodin on the street, a neighbor who can't remember his name. I can't remember Louis C.K.'s name. And I don't know why, but Louis C.K. is talking to him about his failed love affair and how sad he is and how horrible it is and how what he had. And Charles Grodin is trying to tell him, no, what you have is the sadness at it being over. That's part of the love affair. The love affair is not just the love, it's the loss of the love. The whole thing makes it real. It's the continuum that's so extraordinary. And if you don't have that continuum, all you're looking for is the highlight. The highlight is not what life is. Life is highlight and lowlight. Highlight is everything. It's the whole picture. You don't have a picture that's just sunlight. Shadow is essential. And we're all living in that. And I keep seeing people who come to spiritual practice trying to get the secret out. And the secret out is that there is no secret out. The secret out is to be in. To be right here in it and live it and have it and undergo it and suffer it and love it and be in a state of wonder about it. Wonder and awe. And having grandchildren, which was much bigger for me than having children, for whatever reason, I've been much less distracted by it. Having grandchildren is to watch the spectrum of human experience and human being and to go, wow, wow. And how do you get to acceptance? How do you get there? Well, partly we all believe through this practice that you can do something to get there. That if you sit and you meditate, and you ask for help to surrender, and you do all of this practice, and you do it for years and years, you will get there. But I'll tell you a really dirty secret. You don't have to do anything but live long enough to arrive there. I have all these friends who never sat and meditated for 2 minutes, and they're all coming to the exact same place that I'm coming at. Like, wow, we had a life. It's been a life. And there's a kind of wonder in it. But that's not a guarantee. I have to say, a lot of people get to the end of their life, as I talked about my friend's father, who at 95 said, why me? You know, that's not where you want to end up. You want to end up at, I'm at the end of my life, and this was worth every second, worth every ounce. And that takes a kind of work. It's real. It really is. There is work to be done. And the work to be done is the work of destiny. How do I play these cards? And one of the things I've come to understand, which is really valuable, is part of the secret of fulfilling your destiny is accepting it, not fighting it. Accepting the what isness of your life, the perfection of your imperfection. Just going, okay. This is who I am. And you know what that does? It makes you authentic. It makes you a real person because you're no longer pretending to be somebody who's authentic. You just are what you are. You're not trying to dress up and make people think you're something. You are something. You've always been something. You are what you are. And finally, you either go, I get that, and you accept that, and you find enormous freedom in that, or up until the end of your life, you're pretending to be something you never were, holding up the mask of your pretensions. And that's hard because, you know, you have to face God with something, or whatever you want to call infinite truth. And you can't face infinite truth with a mask, because it sees right through it. It is the mask. And you have to discard that thing. We all have to discard it. And what's so hard for me is watching my granddaughter putting on her, beginning to build the mask. She's creating it. And I'm watching her do it, and of course I love her to death. And I keep trying to talk to the soul, if you will, as opposed to the image. And I don't know how effective that is going to be. I have no idea. But I know that's what my job is. Is to keep addressing the true person and not the illusion that's being constructed by her teachers and her classmates and everybody else that are starting to build an image around her of who she thinks she is. You know, she says, I'm adorable. You know, I'm cute. She is. She's adorable and cute. But the minute you own adorable and cute, you're no longer adorable or cute. It becomes a real problem. And that's so many people go through these things in their life. They become the thing they're told they are. You are that. You are all of that. But you're also none of that. And that's the gift of surrender, the gift of going deeper, of letting go, and finding what you are. And what you are exists in remarkable stillness. In the stillness of your being, you see your truth. You see your poetry. You see how beautiful your imperfection is, how authentic your incompletion is. And you find gratitude for it. And you find gratitude for this life that you've had. And, you know, it's very likely going to end very sloppily. Most people's lives don't end in Hollywood perfection. You know, they end in a way that is, you know, not pretty. But that's so essential to this. Be unpretty. Be what you are. Be the being you grew into. You know, that's partly fate, you know. You know, you become your parents, of course, or whatever that is. You become your grandparents. You become this thing that you can't avoid. But you can become a little different than them in that you can go, I am this. This is what I am. Because my parents didn't do that. My mother a little more than my dad. But what's so incredible is that you have all this time, apparently, to do it. And the time is shorter than you think, but real. And you can achieve this one thing that's worth achieving, which is saying yes to your life. And that's kind of all you have to do, is just say yes to this thing. And say, if you can, thank you. And what comes, at least what's come for me, what's been really remarkable for me, is I have to say, at the age of 71, I have been happier than I've ever been. Ever. You know, I'm writing a TV show. No one's ever going to make this TV show. Ever. I don't even care. I don't care on any level. If they make it, oh, I don't know how I'm going to deal with the fact that they would make it. If they don't make it, I have had such joy in working on it. I have joy in picking up my granddaughter from school and walking hand in hand and putting her in the car seat, buckling her in, and talking and singing on the way home, you know, and then playing poker. I love it. I love it. I can't express the level of joy in a life of no attainment. The achievements, I guess it's good that I have them because I don't have to regret not having had them. But I think part of life is accepting that you didn't have them and it's okay. Because the happiness of life doesn't come from that resume in the file cabinet. It really doesn't. But it doesn't mean you shouldn't try to have that. It means go out and fight for it. But if it doesn't turn into attainment, at least you've had the wonderful experience of writing a TV show that won't get made. You've had a life. You've put stuff together. You've done things. You've interacted with people. You've been with people in your life who are amazing. And trust me, you guys are amazing. You are amazing. And if I could give one message to you, one lesson, is you are the thing you want to be. You are. You guys are it. And I know I can't stand watching the little reel in your head going, but. I know it goes on. It's like, yeah, no, exactly as you are in this moment. You're seeking, striving, failing, reaching, happy, unhappy, imperfect, wonderful perfection. It's who you are. That's all I can give you in this life. This whole meditation of energy exchange and sitting here and being together and present and all that. What is really going on? Nothing. We're just sitting here sharing something really sweet. It's really sweet. And you guys are so amazing because you collect yourself in order to be part of it. Because you want to stop and stop life for 2 seconds and go, look at what we're sitting in. Look at who we are. Look at what I am. Look at the miracle of being and existence. How does this happen? There's no answer. There's no answer to how it happened. I mean, maybe there is, and maybe we'll find it on some level, but that's not the goal. The goal is not to find the how or the why. The goal is to be here, to be in it, to be one with this. And you've already done it. That's the thing. You're here. You are one with this. What else is there? And so, I can come and sit here and go, okay, let's try to get there. Let's try to work this out. Take a deep breath, make it happen. But what are you trying to make happen? Nothing. You're here. Just go, okay. But there is something about being here deeply. Being here profoundly, sweetly, lovingly, being here openly, there is something. And to do that is a kind of work. And so I can't discount work. And Rudy said to me once, it was really a powerful moment. We were upstairs in his apartment, and the TV was on. I don't know why. It was the middle of the Vietnamese War, and a monk had just set himself on fire on the street, and the cameras were rolling. I don't know why. And Rudy turned and looked at me, and there's just the two of us in the room, and he said, you have no idea how hard that guy is working. That is important. Because just slovenly sitting here and just getting by is okay, but it's not the answer. The answer is whatever it is you have to do to be here. Most people are not here. They're walking through it. They're pretending. They are having the affectation of being a human being and alive and interacting and doing it badly. But they're not here. The arrival at here is work. And that guy, I truly understand how hard he was working. I don't think I've ever worked that hard, but I get it. That's the work. To be in the middle of the flame that is consuming you and feeding you and transforming you and be totally alive in it and totally in the pain of it and totally in the unbelievable question mark of it and just being. That's it. That's our work. And each one of us is here to do that. That's why we're sitting in this room, not so we're just passive participants, but we're trying to get closer and closer and closer and closer to this very thing we already are. That's all we're doing. And it's worth it. It's completely worth it. And when you achieve that, meaning you suddenly go, oh, and trust me, that's all it is. You go, oh, I'm here. This is real. I'm actually here. I'm actually here. That's, you're done. I mean, you're not done because there's another moment that comes and another moment that comes. But you're in that moment. Or I saw this wonderful film that's coming out soon called Boyhood. Richard Linklater, is that his name? made this film. He studies a boy from the age of, he follows one kid, and actually all the actors from the age of, he's 8 years old till he's 18 or 7 to 18. And you watch him really grow and change. And there's a beautiful line in the film. I don't want to ruin the film for you, but it's a good line. And somebody says, it's not about seizing the moment, it's letting the moment seize you. And that's really what it is. Be present and available to be seized by this. Be seized by this. And that's what we're here for. And I can't give it to you. I mean, I wish I could give it to you. That's what I would like to do. I can try to talk it up. I can pray for you to find it. I can encourage you to sit down long enough and still enough so you suddenly go, oh, right. Huh. And that would be it. Your awakening would take place. And your awakening wouldn't be anything dramatic and cosmological. It would just be, oh, wow, wow. And then you walk around in a state of kind of grace. And you just keep going, thank you. I got to tell you, Seattle, with all of its rain and drear and all that stuff, when the sun comes out in Seattle, you appreciate the sun. It's good to be in transformation and places where it doesn't stay constant. It's good to challenge yourself and shake things up. And you probably, I think you all know what's going on with our lives right now, but you know, Joshua found a house yesterday in San Anselmo, which is in the Bay Area. Blanche and I are making an offer on a house, not to buy, but to rent, in San Rafael this afternoon, if all goes well. So we're throwing everything up in the air. Everything's up in the air. We haven't even unpacked in Seattle. And we're making a move again. And I would mostly say, that's hard. It's hard to go through transitions like that. But it's also unbelievably vitalizing and reviving and transforming and adventurous and makes you very alive. And for those of you who get old and you see your brain getting corroded and rusty, try moving to a new town and having to figure out how to get from here to there. It changes the brain cells. You actually have to reprogram everything, and it brings you back. And then this idea, I talked about it in Seattle, you know, of joining a gym. You know, I didn't plan to join the gym. I planned to check it out. But I checked it out and I ended up with a membership and a trainer, and you know, it's great. It's so hard and so wonderful and so much better than sitting in doctor's offices. And I really recommend taking on all of these things in your life and seeing where they go. You know, I mean, it hurts, you know, somewhat, but it's good pain. It's pain to change, it's pain to transform, it's pain to move away from the tried and true and the settled and the comfortable and the familiar, but it's healthy. And you're going to, ultimately, you're going to leave everything that's familiar. You're going to leave it all behind. If you want to train for that, do it now. Throw things up in the air occasionally, try different things, change your lifestyle, take a different road to wherever you go, eat in a different restaurant, whatever it is, find a way to make your life new so that you get tricks in a way to being aware of where you are. Be aware that something has made you say, ooh, look at where I am. Or I'm here. So that's my message for today. And I don't kind of have any other message anymore left to give. It's, you know, I don't know why I keep talking. But seriously, this is it. This is the message, and I hope it registers and go from there. Any questions? Todd?
I guess I'm confused with the concept of imperfection, because I feel like there's too much I don't know to label something imperfect.
Well, imperfection is just a word. Yeah, I mean, from certain perspectives, imperfections is what you fall short of in your own anticipation of something. You know, I can write a scene and go, this doesn't work right. It's not right. And write it again. And I know it's not perfect. And then one day, if you're lucky, you actually write a line or a scene or a dialogue and you go, that is exactly right. It just hits. And you know you've touched perfection for a moment. And it's really stunning. It's a stunning realization. You know, I think God must look at a few of us and go, got it right. You know, and the rest of us, we're working it through. But the thing that's so stunning is how reaching for perfection in all those moments that are not quite right are still in their way beautiful, because they're part of a something that's going on, something that is process that I happen to find very engaging, you know. And I like the idea of making it better, of making it reach for something that is perfect, even if I never get there, even if it's never yes, it's still like, yeah, it's pretty good. Does that make sense at all?
A little bit, yeah.
A little bit, sorry. Yeah, I don't know what else to say about it, but, you know, because you could talk around this forever and it could become just words, but I think there is something in us as human beings that strives, and I don't know what that thing is, but it's built in, and we're all part of it, and we cannot not do that. You know, no matter who you are, you're going to be reaching for something else, something more, and if you didn't even have it as an instinct, the advertisers would make sure you were. So, it's just part of it.
I've been demolishing the house next to where I live, and there's so much fear built up inside of me that I wouldn't be able to handle the vibrations and the noise and the disruption to my personal life and work and everything else. And so I was running, like, in my mind for months, and then the actual noise and the jackhammers, and I said, well, I'm just going to go down to my favorite cafe and I'm going to find my peace there. And I go there and they're jackhammering. And then, yeah, I go and have some blood work done. I think, well, I'm just going to go then after my blood work up to Cambria where I'll find my peace there. Well, the lady had done such a botched job on the blood work that my arm blew up. And I was like, you know what, I'm running. I'm running and the pain is really catching up to me. And so I turned around and I went back and I integrated it all. And because I integrated it, I stopped being afraid of it, and I was saying to myself, I didn't want this. I don't want to experience these things. And I was just like angry for a moment, but then after I let that go and I went through the experience of it, of course, I grew so much.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. I woke up Tuesday morning thinking I was having a stroke, and called my brother-in-law. Surgeon, he said, go to the hospital. Blanche took me to the hospital. I have what's called Bell's palsy. It just happened. So I have partly paralyzed, I don't know if you can tell, my upper lip is paralyzed and my eyelid is a little thing. And there's a lot of pain. I'm taking horrible medications. And I said, how am I going to teach today? I haven't slept in two nights. There's something going on. How am I going to do this? And I finally just said, you're just going to do it. You're just going to do it. You just sit there and you just do. And then what happens, the most amazing thing that happens, it happens. It arises. It doesn't matter. Your situation is nothing. The universe is so much bigger than us. The truth of the moment, once you say yes to it, is so potent, so powerful, that you are capable of anything in life. And you just do it. You just arrive. And I always am amazed at how it arises, because I don't know where it comes from. Bruce could never do it. You know, Bruce has a million reasons why it can't happen. You know, but it happens, and the minute you say yes to it, there's this flood of energy that the jackhammers are energizing rather than enervating, and you live an amazing life. You just take it as it comes, and you go, okay. And another thing I've found, this is one of the great secrets, and it's, we've talked about it a lot, so it's not a secret. The great refuge of life is the moment, this moment. Not yesterday, not the moment before, not the moment ahead. Because that can make you crazy. But this moment is pure refuge all the time. And if you just sit in this moment, because, you know, I have to pack up now a whole house. I probably have to get rid of all this furniture. If I look at that, I go, I'm knocked out with being, I'm overwhelmed by it. But I don't look at it. And what will happen is day to day, we'll do the various things you have to do to make the change. And it will all happen, and it will be fine. It always is fine. But it's that projection in the mind, the storytelling that we create for ourselves, that makes us unhappy, miserable people. And some people live like that all the time. Absolutely, day in, day out, and there's no refuge. And the refuge is this, now, here, period. And it really is a refuge. It's the best place you can go. Unless you use it to hide out. It's not to hide out, it's to be present. Anyone else? Okay, thank you. We'll be back in, I think, 2 or 3 weeks. I talked to you in an email about the ghost situation. Mm-hmm. Ghost is very past tense for me. just so you understand that. It was a wonderful ride. It was one of the best rides of my whole life. I loved everything about it, but it's coming to an end. I don't need to celebrate it. I don't need you to celebrate it. You know, it's just, it's going to be at the Pantages Theater. The production is a good production. I like it. It's not the Broadway production. It's not London, but it's got some vivacity to it. It's fun. If you want to spend the money, go. If you don't want to spend the money, that's fine. I don't need to be part of the situation. But I just want you to know that I will be back for the opening two nights, and I'm here for the next 2 days doing publicity for it. And then, you know, it has a life. It'll go on in, you know, what's called amateur productions, colleges, universities, high schools, things like that. It's great. It's another thing that's entered the world, and it tells a story that's, I think, worth telling. And, you know, the greatest part of that experience was the experience. You know, not the product, just the experience. So I will see you guys in a few weeks, and I look forward to it, whoever shows up. And thank you for coming today. Thanks.